It's hard to believe that this is the third Sunday in a row in which we've had to make some adjustments to how we worship God. I think about the lessons that have been presented the last 3 weeks, including today. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that God is with us. Gideon asked the question, you know, if God is with us, why has all these things befallen us? Last week, we talked about the providence of God and how we can trust in the fact that God is in control. I want to take that just a little further today and emphasize the fact that we ought not to lose heart. I know it's very easy in the time in which we live. You think about all that we're hearing on the news today about the coronavirus. We think about the businesses that are no longer open or allowed to be open because of this virus. All the adjustments that we are having to make in our lives, it can be easy to become discouraged. And I'll be honest with you, I miss my brethren here at worship services tremendously. It can be very discouraging. Just that one aspect of this can get one down. We need the encouragement of one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so there's a lot of things that impact us as families, as individuals, as we think about what we're dealing with currently in our world and in our nation in particular. There's a lot of uncertainty, and I think if there's anything that's come to light in regard to what we're seeing today, it is the uncertainty of our lives, the uncertainty of the future. We just don't know what the future is going to hold, but we do know who holds the future. I want to call your attention this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. And notice what Paul says. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. And then he says, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. Notice Paul says that we do not lose heart. We don't become discouraged. Paul said, you know, the outward man, the physical part of man, is decaying. We know that's true. And yet the inward spiritual part of man is renewed day by day. You know, Paul tells us here that we need to think about, you know, where our true focus is. The physical, the material things that we see in our world today are temporary in nature. They will not last. It's only those things that are of a spiritual nature that will last eternally. And our focus needs to be on those things that are of eternal value. And sometimes, as Christians, I think we just need to be encouraged to hang in there. As Paul says, you know, don't lose heart. You know, mentally and physically, we get tired. We grow weary. Sometimes we may feel somewhat overwhelmed, and we begin to lose heart. We get drained. We become discouraged, and maybe we start to feel disinclined to keep on keeping on. But we should be delighted to know that our Lord realizes that there's going to be occasions like this that are going to come into our lives. Sometimes those things that really get to us and discourage us are wide in their perspective as what we're seeing going on in our world today. At other times, they're more individually focused when we have various problems that we have to deal with. Maybe it's a personal illness, or maybe it's the loss of someone close to us, or maybe it's some serious financial setbacks that we have to deal with. But we need to realize that God knows these times are going to come. And we need to realize that through God, through His Word, we can find grace and encouragement and strength to see us through such times. And I think a time like we're seeing today, it can easily lead to discouragement. You know, if you spend a significant amount of time watching the news and seeing what's going on in other countries, or maybe what's happening up in New York and in that particular area, you know, sometimes the news just in and of itself can cause us to lose heart. But I want us, as Paul said, not to lose heart. And I want to talk about four areas today where the Bible encourages us not to lose heart. The Bible specifically says, don't lose heart in these areas. First of all, we ought never to lose heart in praying to God. In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. You know, one of the first casualties during a time of spiritual drought often is prayer. Of course, it's difficult for us many times to understand the value of prayer. We don't put the emphasis on it, I'm afraid, that we should from time to time. The joy of communicating and talking to God is often crowded out by our own feelings, by competing voices in our heads. Sometimes we just don't pray as we should. And Jesus said men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Over in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I guess if you were to summarize that verse, we could say that it means don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. You know, prayer improves our relationship with God because it improves our communication with God. And many times we forfeit tremendous blessings in our lives because we fail to pray. You know, James talks about the power of prayer in James chapter 5. He said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer does much good. As we emphasized in our lesson last week, prayer is a way to get God to do things that He normally would not do if we didn't pray. And so don't lose heart when it comes to praying to God. If you're discouraged, if you're distraught, pour out your heart and prayer to God. And I think you'll find a significant difference in your life. A second area wherein the Bible admonishes us not to lose heart is in the proclamation of the good news, the gospel. I want you to notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 this morning, where Paul says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. You know, the joy, the motivation of talking to others about our Lord loses its importance and emphasis when we lose heart. It's really difficult to have the desire to share the gospel with others when we're discouraged, when we're distraught. And therefore, we ought never to lose heart when it comes to the proclamation of the gospel. Sometimes opportunities that we know we should seize are pass by, or maybe we don't even notice these opportunities to teach somebody the gospel due to our spiritual and mental fatigue. And that's why, as Paul said here, we need to remember our M and M's. And what does that mean? Well, we have a ministry. Our ministry is just like Paul's ministry. We're to seek and save the lost. We are to glorify our God in everything that we do. That's the first M. The second M is that we have received mercy from God. When we think about the mercy and grace that God has extended to every one of us, that ought to motivate us to keep on keeping on. God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And we have eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so because we have this ministry, as a result of the mercy of God, we ought not to lose heart. You see, we have a purpose, a very vital purpose in which we exist here upon this earth. Our purpose is something that is of an eternal nature because the souls of people are at stake. And so having a purpose and experience God's mercy will keep us from giving up. So first of all, don't lose heart in prayer. Don't lose heart in proclamation. Thirdly, though, don't lose heart in performing good deeds. Look at Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. And there Paul says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we don't grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto those of the household of faith." You know, whenever we begin to focus on our problems, whenever we begin to think about our own selfish desires, we focus on our own setbacks, we kind of develop this woe is me kind of mentality, then certainly we're not going to be focused on the needs of others. The joy that can come from doing good, the happiness that can come from serving others is going to be greatly diminished when we lose heart. We may even begin to wonder sometimes if it's really worth it. Is it really worth it to try to do good? You know, what good is it going to do anyway? Discouragement, losing heart, impacts our joy in doing good deeds. Now, we have God's promise here in this passage that in due time we shall reap. Isn't that a wonderful incentive? God says, don't give up doing good things. Do good to all men, because there's a time coming in which you will reap your reward if you don't lose heart. Now, we live in a difficult time right now. We're not supposed to have gatherings of more than 10. And so it may be a little more challenging to do good to others than it's been in days past and gone. But I might suggest a couple of things that you could do, and I want to encourage you to do these things so that you won't lose heart. And there's certainly many more things that you could do than even these things. I think about just a telephone call. We have numerous people that live by themselves. There's no one there for them. They look forward to that time on the Lord's Day when they can come and worship God. And now, temporarily, that's been taken away. Can you imagine the encouragement that you can give one other person if you would just take the time to call them on the telephone? Check on them to see how they're doing. Let them know that you're praying for them. Now, folks, that'll make a difference in their lives. It'll make a difference in your life. Or what if you just take a couple of minutes, and I'm serious about just a couple of minutes, and make a card out and write a card to somebody that needs encouragement and mail that card to them. That card will make their day. Or maybe you can think about those that you know, maybe your neighbor, maybe somebody here that's a member of the church that would have a difficult time getting out. Maybe it's an older person who might be more susceptible to this virus than those that are younger that would be more fearful of it. Maybe you could offer to go get them some groceries or their medicines or other things. You see, there's many things that we can do to encourage people, even in a time like this. And so the Bible says, don't lose heart in doing good, because in due time, we shall reap if we don't become discouraged. And I can assure you of the fact that when you're focused and your attention toward serving other people, your problems and your difficulties are going to greatly diminish. The last point I want to make today is that we ought never to lose heart in the fact that we face problems from time to time. If you notice Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, therefore I ask you not to lose heart in my tribulations on your behalf, for they are to your glory. Now, Paul was in prison when he wrote those words. And, you know, how often do we allow the problems of others or the heartaches and difficulties that we face from time to time? How often do we allow these problems to literally become our own prison? You know, Paul would also write in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to the joy that shall be revealed in us. There's going to be problems that we face. That's the nature of the world in which we live. We can't depend upon anything in this world. Financially, physically, it's unknown. There's nothing that we can really depend on. It's all temporary. It will not last. Paul said, the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. And so, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, the things that we have to deal with are momentary. They're light in comparison to eternity. Somebody says, are you telling me that the tremendous physical pain that I'm dealing with whatever disease I'm suffering from, is light? Yes. Compared to eternity, it is. The most severe pain, the greatest discouragement that you might feel today when compared to eternity, is momentary and light. And therefore, we need not to lose heart, especially when we consider the eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison that they will help to produce. And so my main thought today to you is not to lose heart. Realize that the physical and material things will not last. The things that are eternal are what is most important. So don't lose heart. Trust God. Long ago, David said in Psalms chapter 27 and verse 13, and I hope you'll maybe underline this in Psalms 27 and verse 13. David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, I would have lost heart. I might have given up if I hadn't seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I encourage you today to see the goodness of God round about you. Focus on that goodness and don't lose heart. Normally, this is the time when we would extend our Lord's invitation. And certainly, we're not going to have an invitation song as we normally would. But I know it's a fact, it's the truth. There could be somebody that's listening by our live stream today. This might be the only time and opportunity that that individual would have to hear God's gospel plan of salvation. You know, what does the Bible say in regard to how an individual is to be saved from his sins? Well, we need to understand that Christianity is a taught religion. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And we need to hear God's Word. But then we need to believe God's Word. Biblical faith is an active faith. It is an obedient faith. And we know that faith comes as a result of our hearing God's Word. And we need to believe in Jesus Christ and who He was, the Son of the living God, that He gave His life for our sins, that He rose victoriously from the grave the third day. And if we truly believe that, we need to be willing to confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, as we are willing to change our lives in repentance. Repentance means a turning from and a turning to. It's a turning from sin and a turning to God. Jesus in Luke 13, 3 and 5 said that repentance is not an option. And then, of course, to come into contact with the saving blood of Jesus Christ, one must be immersed in water. He must be buried with his Lord in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. It's in that act of baptism that one contacts the saving blood of Jesus. And when one arises from that watery grave, the Bible describes that individual as a new creation, forgiven of all sin. We thank you for listening to our lesson this morning. We're now going to have another song and then a prayer.